The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Creator exists, you need to be aware that when you die, you will become an ancestor spirit or demon. Your spirit will leave the body momentarily and then be returned to it. And unless some Satan servant, witch, warlock or something comes and collects you, you could end up in the grave with your corpse for a very, very long time. Or in the cremation oven. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Please think about that. If you're a believer but you've never made any real effort to get close to the Almighty, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. To put this in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may know as Jesus. In fact, if you understand what's available, if you overcome and serve the Almighty and have a deep relationship with Him in this life, I think you would find that there's absolutely no way you would go with one of the alternatives. Tonight we're going to complete our message on the separation of man and woman in sexual union or divorce, part 3. An overview of tonight's session. This broadcast looks at the spiritual separation of a man and woman who've had a sexual union. This applies mostly also to women with women, men with men. Much of it applies to rape and to a fair extent even to humans with animals. These are things that need to be cleaned up. We examine the topic of the transfer or replication of demons and curses across the one flesh bond. We look at the impacts of cutting the one flesh bond on a divided house and on harmony. We note that love results from making love. We recap regarding putting away and divorce. We look at a series of intense spiritual rites that will cleanse one or even the most intense spiritual contamination. We close by noting that separation from the consequences of sexual union requires drastic action. We then look at the reality that there are 7 times as many believing women as men in the body of true believers. And we will then examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty. Introduction. Who am I? James Robertson, I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for 25 years and currently a business executive and consultant in the UK. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, all one word, .org. Questions from last week's program. Henry asks, how would that work out? We become the demon someone has on them. Henry, if you die as an unbeliever, you become an ancestor spirit or demon. In other words, your human spirit comes out of your body. It then is unable to move around without help. And you can either go to the grave with your corpse, go to the cremation oven and get left behind there. You can get on to a relative if they embrace your corpse and you have the presence of mind to get off the corpse and onto the relative. Or if you're a habitual and talented sinner, you may be harvested by a Satan servant and put to work tormenting other people. But that only applies to unbelievers. If you're a believer, your spirit will go to heaven and you will be judged. Jasper asked, if we're walking along with the Creator to have the experiences, how do the demons come about? Jasper, as I've just said, the demons are unbelievers who've died in unbelief, and those demons can get put on believers. So if you're a believer and you've got sin in your life, you can pick up any number of demons of pride, lust, jealousy, etc., that will oppress you and lead you astray. Charles asks, can a man take more than one wife at the same time? Charles, yes, technically it's permissible. There's a lot of material on this on the website. In practice, in this society, the vast majority of women today can't handle sharing their man. So it's theoretically possible. In practice, it's very, very difficult to do. Todd asks, what if a man has had many women but finds the love of a virgin? Does he have to go through a process before taking that virgin? Todd, in fairness to the virgin, that man should clean up his act. So if he's got a whole lot of one-flesh bonds with women who are no longer with him, he should cut all of those off. He should get rid of all the demons, deal with all the other issues before he consummates with the virgin. And you should refer to my teaching a few weeks ago on the virgin's covenant in terms of exactly what you promise one another and how you go about consummating a righteous covenant. Grace asked, if a woman is raped, is it her responsibility to seek the rapist out and ask for a release so she can be with another man? No. Grace, if a woman is raped, she can go to Father and ask him to cut the one flesh bond. It was not her. If it was not done in, this is assuming she didn't cooperate and it was against her will, and particularly if there was force involved or date rape, drugs or something, Father will certainly give her a divorce. Francis asks, how will we know if we've been released once we pray to the Father? Francis, basically a matter of faith. You go in faith, ask, believing that you're doing the right thing. There are prayers you can pray for confirmation, so you can ask Father to show you that he has severed the ties and things like that. But as a general rule, and certainly if you get somebody like myself with an anointing for these things to pray with you, you would definitely be released. Holly asks, are you saying it's all right for masturbation and pornography? Holly, firstly, what I am saying, it is far If a man or woman has an intense sex drive and they do not have a suitable marriage partner, a life partner, it is preferable for them to masturbate than to go out and use prostitutes or gigolos, one-night stands, or things like that. It's not desirable for them to use pornography. However, it is better for them to use pornography than to engage in physical fornication. The answer is to find the right partner and to get your sexual needs met within a righteous relationship. It's really important in doing that, that if you're a woman, you find a man who's closer to you than you are, which is not that easy. And if you're a man, it's important that you find a woman who is a committed believer, depending on how close you are to the Almighty. By way of introduction to this broadcast, in the three broadcasts before this series, I discussed all the spiritual connections that occur when a man and woman enter a sexual relationship. These apply whether the relationship is a formal marriage or simply a sexual relationship ranging from a casual one-night stand to long-term live-in relationship, which is effectively marriage in your sight, provided that the woman is in a position to enter into a covenant relationship because she is free of all ties to any men in her past. All of the items discussed come into effect anyway, whether she is free to enter into covenant or not. But if she's not free to covenant, curses will come into effect as well, which require repentance before prayers to cut the curses are offered. Some of the consequences of such a relationship would necessarily be of effect. In listening to what follows, it's desirable to have listened to the previous broadcasts first, in order to understand how these things come into effect. Note that most of what is presented here applies also between two men, mostly applies in the case of a relationship between two women, and some key ones apply in the case of rape. Many apply in the case of intercourse with an animal. Right now we're going to look at transfer or replication of demons and curses. It's important to pray for all illegitimate one-flesh bonds, etc., to be cut before you pray for the associated demons to leave. Demons will only leave once all legal right has been removed. Accordingly, all sin associated with illegitimate one-flesh bonds must be sincerely repented of and dealt with before praying the prayer that follows. If the one-flesh bond remains in place, the demons will simply transfer back through the one-flesh bond. So in each instance, it must be cut first. The following prayer is only of relevance once the one-flesh bond and associated items are dealt with. So deliverance should take place quite late in the sanctification process and may have to take place repeatedly. In order to get fully clear, you may need to go through the entire spectrum of prayers in the series iteratively several times before you will have dealt with everything that is required to get every single demon to leave. To understand a bit more about what we're talking about, if a man and a woman, or two men or two women, or have sexual intercourse, at the moment that orgasm occurs, there's an ejaculation of the spirit, the male into the female onto the male. And at that time, the satanic messenger, if they're believers, the satanic messenger angel that's watching each of them has immediately the legal right to go out and collect matching sets of demons. So if the man has got a demon of pride, the messenger or angel is entitled to go and get a similar demon of pride to put on the woman. And so it goes. So through fornication and casual sex, one can pick up an absolute pack of demons. If you're a novice with regard to deliverance, you may need the ministry of a much more experienced believer with an anointing for deliverance. It's highly desirable, but there are not many of these people around. So you may have to work at this yourself. You're welcome to give me a call. In the case of divorce, you must have a legal divorce in the court of heaven before prayer against demons associated with the marital one flesh bond will be effective. For the situations where the above conditions are satisfied, pray as follows. Father, I come to you in the name of Yahushua, and in the name of Yahushua I speak to all demons that have transferred to me as a consequence of my sexual contact with, name of the person or persons involved. I bind you now in the name of Yahushua. I command you to leave me and to go where Father Yah sends you in the name of Yahushua. Father, I ask you to heal my spirit of all wounds and hurts caused by the presence of these demons, to seal up all thoughts and memories associated with what these demons have spoken to me. Father, in the name of Yahushua, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers, that's angels, to bind and cast out these demons that I've named and send them where you want them to go. Folks, a very important prayer. You can pick up demons just moving around in life if you sin a bit here or there. It's permissible to pray from time to time to get rid of demons just as a housekeeping measure. You want to get to a place where you're free of sin, and then you should be free of demons. Let's look at the divided house and harmony. The moment a one flesh bond is cut, the rebellion and disharmony of the other party, if applicable, will be separated from the house concerned, and things should improve. And conversely, all harmony effects will be lost. So if disharmony was not the issue, things may deteriorate. You could pray, Father, I divorce so-and-so and ask you to terminate all spiritual consequences of my union with them, both positive and negative. I stress that this prayer will only be effective if the one flesh bond is cut first. If you've had multiple sexual partners, whether you're a man or a woman, you need to pray the prayers that I've just given you, this one that I've just given to you now and the one I gave you a couple of minutes ago. You need to pray those prayers individually for each person that you're cutting ties with. Can't stress that enough. You can't do a sort of bulk order, except if you've got somebody who's very, very anointed as a deliverance minister. But generally as an individual believer with little or no experience of deliverance, don't try and do too much at once. The demons will just laugh at you. They'll realize you don't have the experience. So pray each prayer once off for each person. The point of this point is, if you've had strife in a union, a strife in a marriage, you will battle financially. The minute you cut the one flesh bond, finances will start to improve immediately. On the other hand, if there's been a level of harmony and you cut the one flesh bond, that harmony will fall away. So you need to know what you're doing. I've mentioned this a few weeks ago. Love results from making love. It is vital to understand that sexual intercourse is called making love for a reason. It causes love to come into existence, and love never dies. It can be murdered through rebellion and bad behavior, but you cannot simply decide to terminate love. Yah is love. He will not terminate love. All you can do is to request mercy and ask him to help you to seal up the love you have for the other party. Note that saying, I don't love you anymore, may be valid in worldly terms, but it will probably only be valid to a point, even in the most acrimonious divorce. I do not love you as much as I used to is more likely to be correct. And note that that loss or diminishing of love is not a basis for divorce in the court of heaven. There must be a breach of covenant or breach of contract. Note that protracted harsh behavior or brutality can murder love, so that there is no love left. If the other party shouts and screams and breaks covenant, and even worse, if they're violent, love will eventually be put to death. It will be murdered, and there will be no love left, and it will be very, very difficult for any form of love to be kindled between those two people again. Once a divorce has been granted in the court of heaven, you can pray along the following lines. Father, I ask you to seal up the chamber of my heart that contains my love for, name the person. Help me to keep that chamber closed, to seal up the memories and heal the hurts, and help me to move on with my life without constant memories. Again, so important. If the relationship started off strong and then degraded into unpleasantness and bad behavior, and it can be that one party behaved really badly and the other party walked in love and submission, and so you can end up with a situation where eventually the one party still loves the other and the other party doesn't love them at all. It's actually quite tragic. You need to understand that if you're going to behave badly, if you're going to break covenant, if you're going to betray the covenant, if you're going to shout and swear and curse, if you're going to raise your arm, your fist, you will destroy love. There's no two ways about it. And under those circumstances, you have to accept, if you're the one who's behaved badly and the other partner has not and has walked in love for you, that partner may desperately want you out of their lives and you might not understand. You might want them back. You might love them. It's wise to be practical. Recognize the damage that you did, and if you broke covenant, recognize that the other party has a basis for divorce, and just cooperate and get the divorce over with. Learn the lessons and go forward. Let's talk about putting away or divorce. The subject of divorce has been dealt with throughout this series. In summary, there are only very specific breach of covenant type charges that are valid in the court of heaven and specific prayers that need to be prayed. These are all addressed elsewhere in the series. In conjunction with the symbolic or actual shaving and triple immersion, there are further spiritual measures that can be taken to clean up after divorce or after termination of illegitimate sexual contact or after rape. You should take the bread and wine at appropriate intervals throughout the processes described before this. Refer to the prayers in other broadcasts. You might also embark on a one-day or three-day complete or near-complete fast, that's water only, in association with cutting off a major relationship. 3 days in particular where you think there may have been witchcraft involved. Refer to other articles on fasting on the website. Only if your health permits and you're sure Yah has indicated that what you are proposing in terms of fasting is appropriate. I'm going to discuss in the next few minutes a number of symbolic prophetic acts that you can take to clean up spiritually. You can think that I'm crazy, but I've done them all myself. They do work. And we live in such a contaminated, spiritually contaminated world that these rituals are important and valid in terms of cleaning up, particularly after a spiritually corrupt sexual relationship or after repeated fornication, multiple sexual partners who are no longer with you, and so forth. The measures described after this can also be undertaken at any time as an act of cleansing and drawing closer to Yah. They can be done at two levels, the level described in Leviticus 14, or going the full distance, which is what I recommend. The simple route is to take some red grape juice or red wine, pray over it to have it represent the blood of the covenant. Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, and I ask that this grape juice will represent the blood of the covenant. Apply it to your right earlobe, right thumb, and right big toe, praying as you do. Father, as I anoint my ear, I pray that you will cleanse my ears from all wrong things that I have heard. Close my ears to what is wrong, and open my ears to hear you clearly, and clearly hear what you want me to hear. Apply the grape juice or wine to your right thumb and pray, Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua, and I ask that you will cleanse my hands from all wrong they have done, from all wrong that I have written or contracted, and that you will cleanse my hands and guide me that in future I write only what you want me to write and contract only what you want me to contract. This also applies if you've been in illegitimate sexual relationships and engaged in sexual acts with your hands, that you also need to clean up from that point of view. Apply the blood of the covenant to the big toe on the right foot and pray, Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua and ask that you will cleanse my feet of all wrong turnings I've taken and all wrong places I've been. Remove all contamination. I ask you to guide my walk from now on, that I will only go where you want me to go. As an extension, you can anoint your forehead and pray about your thoughts, and you can anoint your tongue, pray about the words you utter, anoint your right eyelid, and pray about what you look at and see. Father, close my eyes to what you do not want me to see, and open my eyes to what you do want me to see. These are simple rites. They rely on the offering or sacrifice of Yeshua, where he took the wine and said, "This, drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." And so Yeshua prophetically reassigned his blood shed on the stake the next day to the wine or the grape juice that was eaten at the Last Supper, thereby giving us a very simple and very powerful ritual that we can take at any time. If you go back into the laws of Moses, you will see that the shedding of blood, the sprinkling of blood, the anointing with blood was a necessary requirement in various situations for forgiveness of sin, cleansing from contamination, etc. It would be very difficult today in today's world to get hold of a container of blood, fresh blood. You'd get into a lot of trouble if you went and slaughtered a lamb in your back garden and hung it up to bleed. So Yeshua, realizing that, Father, realizing that, provided a much simpler method. Go to the store and buy some wine or some grape juice. I've given you a very simple process, but if you're really willing to go for it, you can take a large plastic mug or other unbreakable container of grape juice, get in a shower or other suitable area, and rub and pour the grape juice all over your entire body, praying as appropriate. I usually start by pouring some over my head and work down to the soles of my feet. It is advisable to stand on a towel, as the average shower or other hard surface can become quite slippery. Particularly in the case of cleansing after divorce, and even more so after fornication or other sexual sin, ensure that your sexual organ is thoroughly anointed and pray, Father, I ask you in the name of Yeshua that you will cleanse my sexual organ from all contamination and all connections from and name the person, and seal my sexual organ that I will only ever use it in ways that are pleasing to you. When you've anointed your whole body, pour the remainder of the container over your head and ask again for cleansing and setting apart of your body for your service. If you've had multiple sexual partners, you need to pray the prayer that I've just given you multiple times, once for each partner. If there are a huge number of partners, then you perhaps have the option to say, Father, there are so many partners, I can't remember all their names. I ask you for mercy and grace, and I ask you to cut off all the ties with all the partners. The chances are, if you go through cutting the one flesh bonds, if you anoint with the blood of the covenant, you will have a physical experience of release at some point during the process. These are powerful rites and powerful processes. If you want to take the above to its logical conclusion, before anointing with grape juice, you will symbolically or actually shave your entire body, leaving the hair and eyebrows for a woman and leaving the eyebrows of a man. You don't have to shave your head, but it is scripturally and spiritually appropriate. If you're willing to go all out, you don't have to do this. None of this you have to do. I've just found that it works. Go as far as you're willing to go. Then immerse three times as above on the first day. Then anoint with grape juice totally as above. Then anoint with oil totally as discussed below. And do this on day one. Then on the seventh day from the first time. And then the eighth day from the first day. It is up to you to what extent you go to. But I believe that if you're really intent on going all out for you, you should go all out with this full. Full tilt would be to do an 8-day water-only fast, if you're willing to go that far, concurrently with this, or 3 days water-only and then the balance only with vegetables or broth. Once you've anointed yourself with grape juice, at whatever level you choose, anoint with oil at the same level. Take some olive oil, and Father, I ask that this oil will represent the oil of your spirit, and that you will fill me with your spirit, and draw me closer to you as I anoint my. If you've never prayed to be filled with the Spirit, you need to pray now if you're a believer. Father, fill me with your Spirit. I choose to be your servant. I choose to be filled with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on me now. It's so important to get filled with the Spirit of Yah. It makes a huge difference in trying to serve Him. You can't get very far up the mountain without being filled with His Spirit. So with the oil, as a minimum, anoint first your right earlobe. Ask to hear Yah's voice clearly. Your right thumb, ask to write in contract led by Yah's Spirit. Your right big toe, ask to walk led by Yah's Spirit. Optionally anoint your forehead to have the mind of the anointing of Yah. Anoint your right eyelid, see by Yah's Spirit. See only what He wants you to see. See in the spirit realm. Anoint your tongue, speak only what He wants you to speak by His Spirit. Anoint your sexual organs that your sexual activity will be led by His Spirit. And you will only enter into sexual activities as He desires for you. If you really want to go all out, then anoint your whole body with the same oil. Praying appropriately, starting by pouring some on your head and ending by pouring the entire remainder over your head. It's vital that you stand on a towel. The floor will get very slippery, and it's best to do this in a shower. It gets quite messy. It splashes all over the place. Use a plastic container. It is easy to drop the container as your hands get very oily. Only oil the hand holding a container when you've completed the process. You may think I'm crazy. It's okay. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. You really don't. But if you're serious about getting close to Yah, it works. It'll help you. Once you've finished, you need to clean up. Clean the oil and the grape juice off the shower and probably have a warm bath. I usually use cheap bulk shampoo to get the oil off my body. Note that the idea is not to go around covered in oil for the next few days and get it all over your clothes and your sheets. It's the ritual of putting the oil on representing the Spirit. Once you've done that, it's fine to get in a hot bath and wash the oil off. It's not a problem. Don't go and immerse yourself in the swimming pool when you're covered with oil. The people who maintain the swimming pool won't be very happy with you. You may not feel anything as you do all this, but you might also be surprised about what happens when you do do it. Again, if you really want to go all out, combine this with an 8-day fast and anoint with oil on the first, seventh, and eighth days. If you do everything as described in the series, you will have the best possible prospect of putting the old relationship or old relationships behind you and of making a new start in a closer relationship with Yah. And you will be able to remain single until such time as you find the right partner. Note that if you are a woman and reasonably close to Yah, there are hardly any men available, and you may have to choose celibacy for life. Do not join yourself sexually to a man that is weaker in relationship with Yah than you are. You must be able to look up to your man and see Yah through your man. And whatever you do, please, as a woman, do not join yourself to an unbelieving man, and man, do not join yourself to an unbelieving woman. It is an abomination. It causes father huge distress. Don't ask to be filled with his spirit, and then let his spirit have to deal with contact with a person who is serving Satan. If you're a man, there are many more suitable women available, but they must also be suitable in secular life. You're seeking a helpmeet, a Proverbs 31 woman, a woman who will conform to you, accept your leadership, is a good match to you spiritually and in your business and career, and your home and with your minor children if you have any. There are many who seem suitable, who on getting to know them more closely are entirely unsuitable. Take your time and do not rush. Even though it is Yah's will that unless you're called to a very isolated prophetic office, that you should be in covenant with a suitable woman. In fact, it is difficult for a man to stand without a woman. We were not designed to do this. All of the factors discussed in the previous article are designed to make the union between man and woman or women extremely powerful and enduring. Yah never had in mind that we would marry lightly and divorce lightly, or that we would engage in casual sex or use prostitutes or gigolos or pornography. All of these factors must be dealt with in order to make a clean start. And in my experience, all the above prayers should be prayed, and all the above spiritual prophetic acts should be undertaken in order to clean up after a failed marriage or after contamination by unwise sexual activity. Go back to the point that it is difficult for a man to stand without a woman. Folks, ideally, a man should have 7 women to support him, hold him up spiritually, pray for him. Men are not that strong. They think they are. Spiritually, they need the support of at least one woman in harmony with them. It's very, very difficult otherwise. And if you're a man who's got some hang-up about being superior to women, please let go of it. It's not true. There are a lot more women in heaven than there are men, and you might be in for a nasty shock if you make it to heaven. So in conclusion, cleaning up from legacy spiritual sexual contact requires commitment and comprehensive spiritual treatment in order to fully put such sexual activity fully behind you, and is vital before you seek a new relationship. Folks, if you've been in one or more sexual relationships which are no longer part of your life, whether that means you've just got divorced, got divorced years ago, never got married, but just had casual sex, don't go into a new relationship until you've cleaned this up, because otherwise you will drag all the spiritual baggage that we've been talking of with you into the new relationship. It's very, very difficult to make a partnership work when one or both of the partners is still spiritually linked to one or more other people. And the fact is that once you get into a situation where you link to two or three people who are no longer part of your life, and they're each linked to two or three people who are no longer part of their lives, before you know where you are, you're sexually joined to just about every human being on the planet, including the most extreme Satanists and Satan servants. It is vital to clean up your act before you engage in a new partnership. And if you've already embarked on a new partnership, then for goodness sake, do all of this stuff and clean up as quickly as possible. So that wraps up the discussion of divorce. I hope it's helpful. Doesn't matter what you've been in, all of those prayers will help you. It'll take you time to sort it out and get over it, but it's there. I want to go by extension to the earlier talks onto a different topic. I've touched on this several times, and this is that there are seven times as many believing women than men in the body of true believers. If you move around society, certainly if you move around charismatic Christian churches, you'll find that there are some churches which are very religious, dictatorial, and in those churches you will find that there are not many more women than men. In fact, you may find that there are more men than women in a very harsh legalistic church. But in a church which is really filled with the Spirit, where there's an anointed pastor or shepherd or leader who has a close relationship with Father, you may find up to 10 times as many women than men in that congregation. You may get more. I've seen 10 times as many women and men in a congregation where the pastor was really gentle and filled with the Spirit. The assembly was filled with the Spirit. So the Almighty says, the challenge for a single believing woman is to put me first and put away all thoughts of finding a man. As I've just said, there are seven times as many believing women as men on earth today. So most believing women need to remain celibate and single, or they need to find a life partner who is another woman. The most tragic consequence of the lies about virginity and the forced doctrine of monogamy relate to women who love the Almighty. There are approximately seven times more women than men in the body of true believers, with the result that most of these women are unable to find a believing man to covenant with for life, that is to marry. The harsh reality is that if those women truly value their relationship with the Almighty and desire to live close to Him, they are likely to struggle if they do not join. If they do not join to a believer who is at least as strong as they are. This being so, it is better for such women to remain single and celibate and pray for Father Yah to take away their need for sex and to be their husband than it is for them to go from one unsuitable man to another or join themselves with a man who is an unbeliever and who may insist on pagan practices in his home, which applies to most men today. If a believing woman is joined to an unbelieving man and he refuses to believe once he's had the truth presented to him, again, this applies to most men on the planet today, the woman has a basis to go before the throne of heaven and request a divorce. And in most cases, this will be granted. Listen to the broadcasts on the Virgin's Covenant for more information. If a believing woman is unable to cope sexually on her own, she is better to enter into a lifetime sexual cohabitation partnership with another believing woman than to date and have occasional sex with unbelieving men or believing men who are not prepared to commit for life, as she is then committing fornication with the corresponding penalties in the place of torment known as hell. In this context, it is important to understand that the Almighty has no objection to sexual relationships between women within a stable setting. If one truly understands the rewards for overcoming in this life, then it is easier to deal with the tragic circumstances of the vast majority of believing women. See the article on the website, Where Are You Going, for more information. A bit more on this next week. I'd like to challenge you and ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you really count Him as your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. It is open to you to come to a point where when you die, you are granted to sit on a very high throne with a glorious resurrected body, with great authority, great esteem, great power. Amazing supernatural gifts. Close to the Almighty. Why would you not want that? If you really get what it's like, why would you not want that? Yes, life will be difficult. Yes, there will be challenges. Yes, the forces of darkness will hate you and do everything they can to destroy you. But if you keep going and you overcome, there is a huge reward for you. It's worth becoming a friend of the Almighty Creator. In wrapping up, there are five key documents which I would recommend that anybody reads. They're also available as podcasts on the radio website. The documents are all available on the main website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components and drawing close to the Creator, really, really important. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're also available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, He's lonely. He's really, really lonely. Hardly anybody pays real attention to Him. Hardly anybody gives Him quality time. It will make such a difference to Him. It will be such a blessing to Him if you decide today to really go all out to draw close to Him. Remember, He created the entire universe, this solar system, this planet Earth, all the plants and animals, so that He could create human beings to be his friends, his companions, his confidants, to grow with him, to learn with him. And nobody knows that. Nobody makes any attempt, or hardly anybody makes an attempt. I really encourage you today, seek to become his friend. It doesn't matter your race, your religion, your age, your finances, your education. He wants you, yes, you, to become his friend. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Good night. Father, I